yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Novi, Michigan, and earned a degree in business administration from Oakland University while playing soccer for the Oakland Grizzlies. From 2014 to 2015, he played soccer in the Logan Holm Lightning Football Club in Brisbane, Australia. And since 2015, he's been the CEO / executive director of Fleece and Thank You, whose goal is to provide every child facing hospital treatments with a colorful, comfortable fleece blanket and a video message of support from its maker. Known as the Blanket Guy, his name, Nick Kristoff. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a great, great old soul, 30-year-old old soul, fabulous human being, Nick Kristoff. Nick, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me today, Jack. Really excited to chat.
Could you lead us in an opening prayer, please?
It would be an honor. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this day that you've given us today, Lord. We thank you for waking us up. Thank you for a body and a mind to interact, to talk, to lead, to speak, to listen. We thank you for the food that you've given us, the people you've put in our lives, and the safety that you've given us. We ask that you send your hedge of protection to everyone that we love and be with us throughout the rest of this day, this week, this month, and this year. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nick. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Yeah, I would love to. Born and raised in the Metro Detroit area, Novi, Michigan, was always home. Two different houses while growing up, but always, you know, mom and dad inside the house. Dad was, he worked in the metallurgical engineering field in the auto industry, right? Like so many, you know, parents in Metro Detroit. So metallurgical engineer, he traveled a lot, but was, you know, home as much as he could be. And my parents always encouraged me to get into extracurricular activities. Sports for me was anything that I could sign up for. I was going to play it. Loved them. And very grateful for how many weekends and weeknights they spent putting me in the back seat and driving me to practice and driving me to tournaments. It was a massive part of my identity growing up. The teams I was a part of, that was where my friends came from.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom, Nick? And what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
My mom is a retired nurse. And so she is an incredible example of service and is always thinking about how she can serve others. And that is something that has stayed imprinted upon me. And for my dad, it is going to sound cliche, but it's going to be humble, hard work. And there's something to be said about someone who is humble in their hard work. Hard work itself is important. But I think we all know of examples both ways where sometimes that hard work might be too lauded. But my dad is a great example of humble, hard work.
Where did you get your giving back, your serving other people? Where did you get that?
I really think I trace where I got the servant leadership side of me all the way back to my creator, if I can. I really believe I was just wired this way from coming out of the womb. And if I loved computers, Jack, I would be sitting in front of a computer all day writing code and programming because it'd be my fit. But for me, my fit is in the philanthropic space. It's working in nonprofits, it's serving and helping others. So selfishly, it's where I put myself every day because it's my fit.
Speaking of your fit, how good were you in soccer in your day?
So I'll tell you this. I was never one of the 11 best players on any team that I played for. So I was never one of the 11 most talented players ever in the history of teams I was on. But I did always find a way to be in the best 11, meaning the best 11 on the field. I made people around me better as a player through my communication and leadership. And so I was average soccer player, but a good leader, hard worker, good communicator. And that always found a way to get me onto the field and take me to the next level overseas in Australia.
Well, in 2013, you were selected as the 2013 Senior Class Award winner in the NCAA Division I Men's Soccer, which is given annually to the most outstanding senior student athlete. Tall cotton, Nick. So, all right, we're talking to Nick Kristoff. When we come back, we're going to jump to February 23rd, 2014. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Nick Kristoff, who is the CEO, Executive Director of Fleece, and thank you. Quite a name. Nick, February 23rd, 2014, you jump on a plane, you're 23 years old. Where does the plane go?
The plane is taking me to the sunny, exotic land of Brisbane, Australia, which for those of you who don't know your Australian geography, it is smack dab in the middle of the East Coast. So if you think of Australia as a big circle, it's right on the East Coast, right in the middle. And it was a continent where I did not know a soul. It was a time in my life where I was finishing my MBA at Oakland, convinced my professors to let me finish online, and hopped on this plane with two suitcases and a dream to play soccer for a living at the next level. Got off the plane, and I remember stepping out into the airport and thinking, wow, I am 10,000 miles away from home. I don't know anyone in this whole continent. It was a very empowering moment when I stepped off that plane in Brisbane.
And the first word you heard was, hi, mate. You know,
yeah.
Hi, mate.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Nick, how did you ever survive those first few weeks and months?
It was lonely at the start, for sure. And I could never have prepared myself for what it would be like to truly be on your own. And that phrase on your own comes in many forms for many people. For me, on my own meant really on my own. And where I turned to quickly and what became my rock was the word of God. And I opened up my Bible and I grew closer to God during those first few months than I ever had in my life, because He was all I had to lean on. And when everything else was taken away from support, that was where I turned. And it was turned out to be the greatest rock, and, you know, continues to be my rock today.
Nick, tell us about the Australian people and the country.
The country itself is absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. Even more beautiful are the people. From the countryside, the outer rim of Australia is these nice, beautiful beaches, right? And then the next rim inside is really awesome mountains and terrain. And then in from there is this really angelic rainforest. Once you get in from those three rings, it's all outback, all red clay as far as the eye can see. The people are even more beautiful than the scenery. They welcomed me, took me into their homes, made me part of their families, invited me to family dinners, made me weekly parts of what their tradition is. And I'll never, ever be able to truly thank them enough. And I'll tell you, Jack, one of the most surreal things was to go and live somewhere for 2 years and to become a part of people's lives. And then to leave and to come home and to know when I got on that plane leaving Australia, I'm never going to go live that life in that way again. And I never could have prepared or put that into words until I experienced it. The leaving a life that you'll never live again, to come back home, to step back into a life that I had already built, was a very surreal experience. Still miss everyone to this day.
And for two seasons, 2014, 2015, you played soccer for the Logan Home Lightning Football Club, and you made it to be the captain. How?
I did in my second season. I was voted in as the captain, and probably one of the greatest sports honors, if not the greatest sports honor that I've ever been given. I think that I have, like I said, it was talent in soccer was never my strength. It was always leadership, communication, empathy, making connections with players and working hard for them and with them. And in the end, they decided to make me captain in that second season, and it was an honor to lead the team.
You went looking for a nonprofit that you could get involved with, and you found Orange Sky Laundry. Please.
I did. Yeah, I was looking for places to spend my time in, because practice was at nights, games on the weekends, and travel. And I had the whole day. And, you know, the beach is only so entertaining for the first couple of weeks. And I wanted to dive into the nonprofit space. So found a couple of different nonprofits, one of them being Orange Sky Laundry. I had met Nick and Lucas, two 21-year-old founders who had this dream that they could put a washer and dryer inside a van and drive it to any homeless park, shelter, area where homeless friends were congregating and wash and dry their clothes at no charge and give them, more importantly, meaningful conversation and connection. And so I met Nick and Lucas early on. They had two vans. I helped roll out the third van at what's called the Gold Coast, which is an area on the east coast of Australia. 3 days a week, I was driving a van, towing a generator behind me down to the Gold Coast, going to three different locations at 2 hours each where I wash and dry clothes for our homeless friends on the street and sit down and pop open an orange folding chair and have just a great conversation with them, learn about their life, talk about faith, family, goals, dreams, plans, and gave them, you know, an hour or so of meaningful conversation while their clothes were washing and drying. And across the board, the gratitude of just being able to wash their clothes somewhere was there. And the gratitude of, thanks for looking at me. Thanks for giving me a conversation. Thanks for making me feel like I belong in the world.
You believe in jumping in with everything you do. So you decide that you're going to live as a homeless person for a week in Australia.
Did, yeah. We had
that week.
We were rolling out the service to different major cities in Australia. When it came time to roll out the service in the famous Sydney, Australia, we said, hey, up until this point, we've kind of called service providers and learned about the scene of where this van should go. But how much more impactful and how much more right would we get it if we actually went and lived homeless in a city for a week to really figure out where the van was needed, where the communities are gathering? And we decided to do that in Sydney, Australia. So I had, I remember it was a white t-shirt, a zip-up hoodie, a beanie, a pair of sweatpants and shoes, and a $5 bill in my pocket just for emergencies. And just went out. And the first night, I'll never forget it. It was, so Sydney, Australia is in the south of Australia. For anyone who knows, they're on the other side of the equator. So the farther south you get in Australia, the colder it gets in the winter. And similar to the north in the US. So it was the first night and I'm thinking, oh, I'm a Michigan guy. It's winter in Sydney, but how bad could it be? I'll be fine. It was about 11:15 at night and it was getting cold, Jack. And I was starting to get nervous that, you know, I don't really know what's going to happen here. I don't know where I'm going to sleep. And it is cold out here. And I'll never forget, it was about 11:30 and just talked to another group of homeless friends and said, hey, is there any other vans coming with warm food or any supplies or resources? And they said, there's one van left tonight. It's the St. Vincent de Paul van. It comes at 11:45 at Martin Square. And so hustled over to Martin Square and there was a Vincent de Paul outreach van. They were passing out food. And I saw in the back seat, there was this brand new blanket wrapped up. Ironic that it's a blanket, right? And I, you know, asked the person, I said, hey, is there any way that I could get that blanket? I don't have anything. I'm really cold. And they kind of looked around. You could tell they weren't really there to give out the blanket. They were handing out food, but then they kind of grabbed it and said, yeah, here you go. And so they gave me that blanket and that ended up being a lifesaver. I took that blanket and we ended up finding a train station to stay at the first night just from asking friends in the street, hey, where do you sleep? Like, where do we even go? And they said, oh, station number 9 at the train station. So we walk into the train station. You have to hop over the turnstiles. The second we hop over the turnstiles and turn the corner, this police officer stops us and he said, hey, where are you guys going? And we're like, hey, we're going to station 9. That's all we said. We're going to station 9. And you could tell he knew what station 9 meant. And he looked left and looked right and said, go ahead. We walked up station 9, thankful that the police officer let us go through. And when we got there, it was this scene of multiple corridors. And inside each corridor, there was, everyone had their civilized set space and everyone respected each other's space. And everyone was evenly kind of spread out. And it was amazing that here we have, you know, a group that often gets judged, but with no coordination, right? There's no coordinator there. There's no one in a vest telling people where to go. Everyone had their spot civilized. And we ended up laying down next to this family that had a 5 and 7 year old. And I'll never forget, they kept asking, hey, mom, dad, when's the train coming? When's the train coming? And the mom and dad just said, oh, you know, it'll be here a little bit. Just go back to sleep. And realizing, oh, wow, like this family's, they're sleeping in this train station tonight. And they just don't know how to tell their 5 and 7 year old that this is where we're staying tonight. They think they're catching a train. And in that moment thought, wow, when I was 5 and 7, that was the not on my list of worries, right? Where am I going to sleep tonight? So experiences like that throughout the week, very humbling, and got to learn just a fraction of what our homeless friends go through.
We're talking to this Nick Pristock, who's known as the blanket guy. He eventually got involved with 5 nonprofits while he was in Australia. When we come back, we're going to jump now to October 1st, 2015. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Nick Kristoch. Nick, let's jump back on the plane. October 1st, 2015. What happens?
October 1st, 2015, I land back in LA first and then a connection to Michigan. And I get this text message from my twin sister. She worked in pediatric oncology at Mott Children's Hospital in Ann Arbor at the time. So working with kids going through cancer treatments. And she said, Nick, when you get a free minute, and actually in her words, she said, Nick, when you're looking for a real job, because to her soccer wasn't a real job. That's fine. She's my twin, so she can say that. She said, Nick, when you're looking for a real job, you should make a blanket for a kid in the hospital, just a blanket. And I'm aggressively curious, always have been. So I immediately started asking, well, how many blankets do you need? How often do you need them? And her answers back to me were, we always need blankets. They dramatically change the room. We never, ever have enough. And I'm scratching my head that one of the best children's hospitals in the country wouldn't have enough of something that they need. So I picked up the phone that day. I called every children's hospital and unit in the state of Michigan, and everyone gave me the same answers. Nick, we always need blankets. They change the room, and we never have enough. And I said, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life, but I know I can start this. Let's just figure out how many kids get sick every year in the state of Michigan. And let's make that many blankets. And even more than just the color and comfort, let's give them the connection. And from working with kids firsthand, I saw how badly kids needed the connection. Because when they go into the hospital, for the first week or two, they're celebrities. People call, visit, and message. And we've seen this before. If we've been in or friends and family have been in, we probably did call, visit, message in the first 2 weeks. And then it all kind of stops, and it stops quick. And Chloe's still inside that hospital room, feeling now like the outside world has kind of forgotten about her. So I said, well, what if Jack could not just make a blanket, but what if Jack could make a blanket and make a video message with that blanket? What if that could travel to Chloe in the hospital? And what if Chloe could send Jack a message back? And me and a buddy went in the garage and built a software product that allowed us to do just that. And that was how Fleece and Thank You got started, with one event, 25 sorority girls up at Central Michigan University. My cousin was in a sorority. I called her up and said, hey, let's do a blanket making event. We made 25 blankets, 25 video messages, and I delivered those to Mott Children's Hospital. And that was the first ever event, first ever delivery. And here we are coming up on 6 years later, tens of thousands of blankets, thousands of events, and a lot of kids comforted and connected.
If you want to learn more, www.fleeceandthankyou.org. In 2021, Michigan will have 30,000 kids in a children's hospital. And nationwide, it will be 965,000. This year, you will make and donate 17,000 blankets in Michigan and another 5,000 outside the state. If you want to learn more, www.fleeceandthankyou.org. Nick, what role does God play in Fleece and Thank You?
He is everything. And to even say he has a role when he's just the thing that we're doing it for is an interesting, you know, phrase. He's just, my belief is that, you know, one of my favorite Bible verses is, to whom much is given, much is required. And that's in Romans. And I think the cliche often is, to whom much is given, much is expected. But an expectation is something that you can let down, but a requirement has to happen. And I really believe, and it's been impressed upon my heart, that so much has been given to me, from where I was born, the family I was born into, the blessings and opportunities I had growing up, the places I've been able to go, the people I've been able to see, all of the experiences I've had. I've been given all of that by a creator that made this all possible. And to whom much is given, much is required. And so Fleece and Thank You was born out of that desire to serve and to give back to the creator that created me, and to make sure that I can be the best example possible with however many seconds and minutes and hours that my heart is going to tick on this planet, that people will look to my actions and see their path to God in that, because that is the point of why we're here. It is to bring others closer to God in this world where there is this balance of good and evil. And you and I have talked about that in the past, Jack, of darkness and light. And we need to be the brightest light possible so that others can see in the darkness.
We're talking to Nick Christock, who's 30 years old, an old soul. And on a scale of 1 to 10, his compassion for others is a 20. Speaking of compassion, your mom's vocation was nursing. Your twin sister, Tara, is a nurse. Talk to us about the job the nurses do in these hospitals.
Nurses are the backbone of patient care. I mean, there's so many people that go into patient care, right? But nurses have this incredible job of the medical side, right? Where you have the doctor who has the medical, you know, the real medical advice side, but the nurses are carrying out what that medical advice means in most cases. But the nurses also have to deal with the psychosocial side, right? Because after a doctor gives a diagnosis, a treatment plan, they've got to leave the room and go on to one of their other 300 patients to give the same diagnosis treatment plan to. The nurses are there to clean up what you could call the beautiful mess, right? The family that's like, what does this mean? What's going on? How do we do this? Is it going to hurt? Is it going to physically hurt? Is it going to emotionally hurt? How long will it take? Will we be in? You know, the hundreds of thousands of questions. The nurses are there and they have to hold a space for all of that. They have to hold an intellectual space for the treatment plan and execute on that with no mistakes and not let emotion cloud it. They have to hold the space for those conversations with the family because we know that hope and positivity is such a huge part of getting through treatment. Nurses go through so much. And so if you know a nurse, if you're related to a nurse, if you have a friend that's a nurse, thank them as often as you can because they have to pick up so much of the baggage that comes from treatment. And they always hold a space for it. It's absolutely incredible. I'll never forget one of the days I was delivering blankets. It was at Mott Children's Hospital and I saw my sister there. And, you know, delivering a lot at Mott, I had gotten to know some of the patients and I knew some of her patients. And I knew this one patient in particular she had been with for a couple months. And when I saw her, you know, she looked like kind of glassy eyed, like she was on the brink of tears, but was really kind of holding it together. And I learned that, you know, 30 minutes prior, the patient that she had been seeing and got to know and be friends with for 3 months had just passed away. And she was 30 minutes away from welcoming in a new patient. Now imagine that, to suffer that kind of loss and have an hour to pick yourself up and be okay for the next person and not carry that into the room. It's absolutely incredible what nurses do.
Nick, share with us, what do these blankets mean to and do for a kid?
When you look at the physical side, you know, I get asked all the time, you know, is it just a blanket, Nick? Is it just a blanket? And, you know, for anyone who asks, is it just a blanket? I always tell them the story of my friend, Dane Dunford. So in 2016, it was Valentine's Day, 2016. We had someone reach out to us and tell us the story of Dane Dunford, 8 years old. He had beaten osteosarcoma at 6 years old. Now his cancer of the bone was back, and this time it was terminal. And we learned of Dane's favorite things. He loved Star Wars. So we made this Star Wars blanket. And then we reached out to all of our supporters to make Dane a happy Valentine's Day video message. We didn't just get messages, Jack, from Michigan or the US. We got messages from all around the world wishing Dane a happy Valentine's Day. We put them all together, attached them to that blanket, and I drove that blanket 2.5 hours south to Liberty Center, Ohio, where I got to meet Dane, his family, and I got to hand him that blanket and show him that message. And 2 months after that, I unfortunately had to drive back to Liberty Center, Ohio, this time for Dane's funeral. When I walked in the room, greeted his family, and to the right was a table full of Dane's favorite things. And right there on the table was his fleece and thank you blanket. And I remember his parents telling me how it was the last thing he hugged every night before he went to bed. And now it's the last thing that they get to hug. And what that showed me and what has continued to be true is the blanket is a physical piece of comfort. You wrap yourself up in it and you feel protected in the moment. But the blanket itself is also a vessel. And that vessel holds and carries the memories, the tears, the laughter, and the moments that that family has gone through in the hospital. And they keep it forever.
If you want to learn more, www.fleeceandthankyou.com. We talked about at breakfast a few weeks ago, the power of curiosity. Every kid has curiosity and most adults lose it. Talk about curiosity and why do we lose it?
Yeah, I really believe that anything you want to uncover in this life, you can do by asking questions, whatever. And we're all seeking something. We all want something more, something bigger, something new, something different, something old. I believe the quickest and best way to get there is by asking questions. We do not ask enough questions. And I've thought long and hard about why we do lose that power of curiosity. And I think it's a couple reasons. I think it's one, you know, the world kind of hardens us, right? Everyone has this fear of acceptance or rejection. And sometimes we don't ask questions because we're worried that it might be a silly one to those around us. The world also makes us think that sometimes that we know a lot more than we do. And for kids that are just seeing the world for the first time, everything's a question. But imagine if you just start tomorrow, if you woke up and tried to look through the lens of that, of everything's a question to me. And I'm just going to ask as much as I can. And often when people will say to me, they say, Nick, this is great. You look like you found your purpose. You found your fit. And I say, yeah, absolutely have. Like, how'd you do it? I said, well, it wasn't any harder than just asking a ton of questions, right? And then just following where that answer led to, and then going to the next. And for me, the question was at the end of college, hey, what do I want to do with my life? And I didn't know the answer. And this door opened up to go play soccer in Australia. And I took it because it was the only door that wasn't something here that I knew I didn't want to do. And then I go to Australia and like, how can I spend my time? Well, jump into nonprofit. How can I do more for kids in the hospital? How can I respond to my sister's question and do better? How can I build this to be something bigger? And here we are today.
We're talking to Nick Kristoff. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WGR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Anything. 15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. Anything is possible. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to the blanket guy, Nick Kristoff. If there's a listener tonight that says, this is great, Nick, but I can't get involved because I have no idea how to make a blanket. I can't make a bed.
It is, we have made it very, very easy to engage with Fleece and Thank You and support kids in the hospital. And I would say if making a blanket is something that you are intimidated by, just from the blanket making side, if you know how to tie your shoes and use scissors, you can make a blanket, because it really is just two pieces of fabric. You're using scissors to cut strips around the outside and tying those together in a double knot. And then you make your video message. So if you can tie your shoes, you can make a blanket. And if you don't want to make a blanket, or maybe you can't tie your shoes, there's tons of other ways to support the cause. You can donate a blanket for someone else to make. You can donate a blanket for a child in the hospital. There's just so many ways that you can engage and provide comfort to kids in the hospital. Because like you said earlier, Jack, 30,000 is the number, and it's a big number, and it takes a village to do it. We cannot do it alone. It takes lots of people doing a little bit to bring that together to 30,000.
What's your biggest need today? And paint us a picture of Fleece and Thank You in 2025.
Love that question. Our biggest need today is definitely more blanket making events with big groups. We work with corporations all across the country and world to do hundreds and thousands of blankets in one event. So if you're part of a group, no matter how big or small that group is, one classroom to an entire school, one department to an entire business, one family to an entire holiday gathering of multiple extended families, whatever that group that you're a part of is, big or small, if everyone can just do their part once a year, maybe twice a year, but give us a once a year annual event and make it a tradition to do your part to provide comfort to kids in the hospital, we can build to that 30,000. And what does Fleece and Thank You look like in 2025? 2025, we will be 30,000 blankets consistently in Michigan, servicing every children's hospital and unit every single day of the year, consistent service. That playbook will then have also been expanded to the Midwest, whether it's through a franchise model or some other type of growth. We'll be able to bring that playbook of how you blanket a state and bring that to the Midwest, which needs about 151,000 blankets. And hopefully by 2025, that Midwest model is starting to work. And we're talking about how we can bring this to the entire country, as you pointed out, Jack, which needs about 1 million blankets for kids that are going into the hospital every single year. But it's our dream that no matter where in the US you are, no matter what time of year it is, when you go in for pediatric inpatient treatment, when you walk into that room, instead of the plain white sheets and the dark beige wallpaper, it is guaranteed as it is that the sun will rise tomorrow, that there will be a colorful, comfortable fleece blanket waiting on the bed. And with that blanket will be a video message of support from the person that made it just for you.
Talking to Nick Pristock. Nick, you just started a new company, Empathy 313, AKA Kind Catch, K-I-N-D. K-A-T-C-H. Tell us about the new company.
I did. So that video software that we talked about with Fleece and Thank You, there were other nonprofits and businesses reaching out saying, hey, this is really cool how you can engage a donor, how you can show someone their direct impact. Can I use it for my donors to show them impact? Can I use it for my brand to show customers their impact, to message? And eventually said, you know, it's not an app, but I guess it could be. And we ended up taking that and making that into its own standalone company. And now other organizations, nonprofits, and for-profits use Kind Catch to show their donors' impact, to show their customers' brand messaging, to show great moments, to capture moments, and to share amazing stories. And that's really all kind of from that inception of this concept of how we connect Jack and his blanket to Chloe in the hospital, and full circle back to Jack. And that's been an awesome journey as well. And it's another great way to serve God for me as well. I think he's blessed me with some talents in the nonprofit space. I think he's blessed me with some talents from a business mindset to be able to grow that. And there's a lot of conversations I get to have every week where I get to be, you know, my best example of a Christ-centered human and hopefully lead people closer to God.
If you want to learn more, www.kindcatch.com. Speaking of conversations every week, you gave a TED Talk a while ago, how to build a business to solve a problem. And you had 10 main points. If we could discuss a few of them, live the problem, i.e. become a homeless person in Australia. Talk about living the problem.
You know, if you think of any problem that you have in life that is, you know, really a problem to you, it there's some pain there, right? And you want to find a solution. But if I just told you, hey, Jack, I've got this problem and you've never experienced it, you're not really that motivated to solve it. But I always say step one of how you build a business to solve a problem is to go and live that problem, experience it firsthand and feel the pain yourself. Then when you come up to your first obstacle, there's not going to be a question in your mind of, maybe I should do this, but maybe I shouldn't do this. You're only going to be thinking about how do I get through, around, over, against this obstacle so that I can solve this problem. So live the problem, step one.
All right. You earned a degree in business administration from Oakland University, known as the Grizzlies, and their school colors are gold and black. So number four point of the speech was dig for gold. Do you ever find any?
Absolutely. I believe that, you know, number four is called dig for gold because whatever it is you want to solve, there is someone in your network, 1, 2, 3 degrees of separation from you, that is a nugget of gold. There's someone that can help you take your next step, whether it's a coffee meeting, a phone meeting, they know someone who knows someone. There is a nugget of gold inside your network already. It is free to dig for that gold. You just have to ask a lot of questions and shake a lot of hands and meet a lot of people and be open to those conversations. But if you can dig for gold, you don't have to spend money to do this. You just have to ask questions, dig for gold, and your next step is right inside your grasp.
And your next point, number five, is one for infinity. Please.
The world does not need another business doing the same thing. The world does not need another nonprofit doing the same thing. It needs new ideas, new solutions to move the needle. And so I say one in infinity because don't build a 1 in 10 business and there's 10 others just like you. Build a 1 in 50 business that for you, you know, this is so different, so new. It's going to create change. It's one in infinity. I think of the concept of you're eating cereal in the morning. There's very few people who are eating cereal with their spoon and look at their spoon and say, I think we can make this spoon better. No, the spoon's been perfected, right? We don't need a new spoon. We need other ideas, one in infinity ideas that change the game. So challenge yourself to bring those game-changing ideas to life.
Number seven, jump.
At some point in a venture, you're going to have to take a leap of faith. You're going to have to say something and then act on it, come through, prove. And I advocate for take that jump as soon as you can, because you're going to just figure out if you can make it or not. And that jump for me was first Christmas of 2015. We're 2 months into building Fleece and Thank You. Channel 4 comes to my house, interviews me. We're talking about blankets. And she asks me, what are your plans for Christmas week? And up to that point, I hadn't even thought about Christmas. I was 2 months in, fleece was flying around everywhere. And I just opened my mouth and I said, Christmas week, we're going to donate 1,000 blankets to 10 different hospitals across the state. I didn't have 1,000 blankets. I didn't have 10 hospital connections. And I just said it. And I said, oh, I just said that on television. Well, I guess we got to do it now. And that was my jump. And people responded to that. The donations came in, the blankets came in. We connected with the hospitals and we delivered over 1,000 blankets to 12 hospitals the week of that first Christmas. So jump and jump early.
If you want to learn more, www.fleeceandthankyou.org. Nick, as our time winds down, there's a young listener tonight. What advice do you give to that young person?
I believe that empathy is a superpower. And we often hear that phrase, take a walk in someone else's shoes. And I think there's a second step to that that doesn't get talked about enough, but I'm going to add it. So if you're a young person listening to this, first, obviously, take away that ask a ton of questions. Of all people, all the time, ask a ton of questions. Secondly, care a lot. Care enough to hold the door open for someone. Care enough to look up and smile at someone. Care enough to ask someone how their day is going. Care enough to take a walk in someone's shoes, and then care enough to take the second step of then messaging back to them what it was like to be in their shoes and how you feel some of the pain that they feel. And aside from all those things, be yourself, because God made you this way for a reason. With all your quirks, your anxieties, your strengths, the things that make you laugh, the things that make you cry, the things that make you tick, be yourself and be proud of it. And do your best to spread the word of God through your actions and your words every day.
And you live that, Nick. You are one in a billion. It's an honor to know you.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Prisula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.
Believe in yourself.